Well, good evening again. Good evening. I'm glad you've come. I hope that you brought your Bible, and I wish if you brought it with you, you would turn to James chapter 4. We'll be over in James chapter 4 and verse 13. James chapter 4 and verse 13. And I will tell you right now that the lesson I'm going to preach tonight is not the one I had in mind. In fact, it's not the one I had in mind as of about 1:30 this afternoon. This lesson is entitled, We Are Not Promised Tomorrow. By the way, that's my dog. His name is Kobe. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him is sin. If you've not heard, there was a helicopter crash in California this afternoon that killed 9 people. Included among them was Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter. Kobe Bryant has 5 NBA championships, 2 gold medals, an MVP of the league, a state championship. What do you think that means to him right now? I don't know his condition. I don't know him as a man. But I can assure you this morning, he thought he had other days to get right with God. He thought he had plenty of time. I couldn't preach the other sermon I had in my mind. Get right with God tonight. You stop me if you want to get baptized. Don't you leave here. Don't you do it. If you're not right with God, you do it now. I'm going to do this lesson as a series of questions. And we'll use the Bible to answer those questions. What is the end? What is the end? The writer of Ecclesiastes tells us the end is something we should have on our mind today. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. You know, do you do a lesson like this? Do you talk about something like this at an emotional time? Yes. Yes. Because when is the end? We don't know. But it's coming for every single one of us. Death is undefeated. I know death has been defeated, but bear with me. In this world. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 2 reminds us that we all must die. We all must meet the Lord. When will that end come? We don't know. We talk a lot about the judgment day, and people like to argue about things like the second coming and whether there's going to be a 1,000-year reign, or people try and predict when the Lord will come, and on and on and on and on. The answer is we don't know. But the answer is this. I know when the judgment day will come. It will come when I die. Because the day that I die, the Lord will have come for me. Because there's no chance to change my fate at that point. The Lord may come this hour. The Lord may come tonight. There's no difference between the second coming of the Lord and my death. Because all men must die and face the judgment. All men must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us this. Look at verses 1 through 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 3. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. I don't know anything about those nine people. They may have been ready for the Lord to come. They may have left Sunday morning services and got in that helicopter and passed away, and they may be in comfort as we speak. I hope that to be the case. But I assure you, they did not know today was the day. What will my life cost? What can I do with 5 NBA championships, 2 gold medals, and an MVP? What good is it? Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we'll look at verses 16 through 21. Jesus here is going to tell us a story about a wealthy man, a man who had advantages in this world, a man who had things that happened for him that were positive. But what did it get him? Luke chapter 12, verse 16 reads like this. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Things of this world won't save us. All the glory and the notoriety in the world will mean nothing to us in the day. What will matter is our soul. What will matter is whether I have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, put my faith in Him, and served Him and with Him in His kingdom. Those have assurance. We know where we're going. We know that if the Lord comes or we die tonight, we're going to heaven. Because we've treasured not the things of this world, but the things of heaven. Matthew 16, verse 24. Another familiar passage to us. As I was doing this lesson, I thought, if this is not a familiar passage to us, woe be it unto me. We used to sing this song a lot when I was a kid. What shall it profit a man? What shall it profit a man? Words of Jesus in Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Really, that's the problem right there before we go any further. My will be done. My will be done. My will be done. The reason some people aren't coming forward tonight is they treasure their will over the will of God. They won't give it up. Maybe you won't give it up. But Jesus has a question for you. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Don't know about Kobe. But I guarantee you, if he has not served the Lord in this life, he'd give you every one of those NBA trophies right now. Right now. He gave you every car, every dollar, every gold medal, every MVP. In fact, he screamed like the rich man, "Let me go back and tell my brothers and sisters." I'm not emotional about Kobe Bryant, by the way. I'm emotional about you. I'm tired of going to funerals where I don't know. Don't do that to your family. Second Corinthians chapter 5. When's a good time to be saved? It is said in the end that God will say to us, "Your will be done." Because in this life we make a choice to do ours or His. And if we choose in this life to do our will, then we are rejecting heaven, we are rejecting the Son of God, and we are rejecting our Father in heaven. And in the end, God will say, "Your will be done." So when to change? Put it off. I can always do it. Eat, drink, and be merry. I'll be old and dried up like the preacher and can't have fun no more. I used to think that as a kid. I would hear these sermons and I think, "You're just an old man. Old men can't have fun anymore." That's a lie. That's a lie. I want to go to heaven. The good life is not sowing your wild oats. The good life is sowing the seed of the kingdom. I sleep well. I don't have guilt in my life. I don't lie to people anymore. I don't have to remember what I told you. I don't have to worry if you know what I did last night. I don't have to worry if I owe you money. I don't have to worry when the cops get behind me. I giggle when I get behind somebody that's 40 mile an hour speed limit. They're going 38. You know what I think in my mind? They're holding. They're holding. Ask somebody. I drive faster than 38 because I ain't holding. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We'll read through the next couple of verses in chapter 6. We're going to read through chapter verse 2 of chapter 6. You've heard me use this 1,000 times. Why? Because it says it better than I can. "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made Christ to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, 'In a favorable time I listened to you, in a day of salvation I have helped you.' Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." There's nothing else I can say to you. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. Don't wait. Be saved, O tonight. Why tarriest thou? King James of the verse you see on the screen. "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins and calling on the name of the Lord." We can end this.